Good morning. Hear the word of the Lord. The lesson for today is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.
Good morning. Well, it is so good to be back again to be able to share with you God's word. I am actually known as, from my conference here, as a wandering minister. That is my title. And I'm so happy because my wife and I, Grace, would like to send you a greeting also. God's new calling for us. We are no longer stationed in a place. We allow where the Holy Spirit leads us, and we will travel as He will lead us to share wherever He wants us. Today's chapter, I actually have a lot of ambition over here, trying to cover quite an extensive amount of passage over here. So if you can, take your Bible with you. And I would like to look at you, and some of you probably have your smartphone with you. Do that, and if you have your iPad, do that too. But I'd like you to follow with me in the scripture, because I'm going to go through with that. Look at verse 35, chapter 4, verse 35. Here it starts and that says that that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciple, "Let us go to the other side." From west side of Lake of Galilee, they want to. Jesus was hoping to be able to go to the east side of the Lake of Galilee. And then if you look at chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then they crossed over the lake to the region of Gerasenes. In other words, they have come into the other side of the lake, and then the encounter between Jesus Christ and the demon-possessed person. And when they were done with what Jesus Christ intended to do, verse 18. Turn to verse 18, chapter 5 again. As Jesus was getting into the boat, in other words, when he was done with his preaching and cast out the demon-possessed person, the man who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus to go with him. Once his job was accomplished, he decided, Jesus said, "My job is done. I am going back to the other side, the west side of the Lake of Galilee." Very important principle from that few verses. Jesus is not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone has the opportunity to hear the gospel and be saved, if only they will repent. In this case, Jesus went to the other side of the Lake of Galilee just to meet this one person, to save him, and then to bring him to the kingdom of God. And we are basically reminded about the parable of the lost sheep, how Jesus Christ told about the story, how the shepherd will go and search for and find the one lost sheep. And when their lost sheep is found, what happens? There was a great rejoicing, meaning not only there was a rejoicing in over here on earth, but there is a great rejoicing in heaven itself. All human beings who have not received Christ, and when they come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, there is a great rejoicing in heaven. Why? Because when a person is lost on earth, they do not have the abundant and the quality life that God has given. Not only are they suffering on earth without Christ, but for eternity they will be lost. But when the person repents, the person is not only having that relationship with Jesus Christ, for them, complete, free from the judgment, free from hell, and to be able to spend eternity with God Himself, enjoying the presence of Christ. So that again reminds us one of the very important thing. And I'm so happy to see that this church is very involved in mission work, and this church is very involved in helping and supporting those people who are involved in reaching out throughout the world for Christ. This is so important. And it also reminds us individually that we need to take the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody and with anybody, because they need Christ. The world is lost without Him. And look, note the other one here. Chapter 4, verse 35 again. 36. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along. That is in the NIV translation. Just as He was. This is a very interesting word over here. They took Him along. If you were to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now, Jesus Christ at this point in time was a baby, and He was in danger of being killed by King Herod. Verse 13 says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, and he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you so. For Herod is going to search for the child and to kill him. It is the same notion over here. That is, verse 30 says, leaving the crowd, the disciple took care of Jesus and protected Him. Why? Because Jesus Christ was preaching. He was doing God's word, was casting out demons, was doing, and the evening came, He was exhausted. He was literally exhausted. And so the disciples care for His master and love His master so much, they literally took Him and protected Him from the crowd. It tells me not only Jesus Christ care for all the people and all the disciples, but the disciple also care for His master. We have a pastor's fellowship among some of the churches here, among the Chinese churches. And now and then we get to hear about how this congregation over here care for your pastor, Louis Lee. And when we hear what you guys have been doing for him, how you care for him, a lot of the pastors feel very envious, jealous. But it also gives us a sense of comfort and joy, how you take care of your pastor. When he needs some R&R, you give him more than he needs. And that is very encouraging to us, because pastors sometimes get very lonely and discouraged. They get very tired working. And there are times that when the leadership and the church come and surround them with love and be above and doing things above and beyond. This is so great. I am so encouraged. Continue to do this great work that you are doing. And so this, over here, this passage reminds of how the disciple took care of this of Jesus Christ. Now, following that, in this, continue with the verse. And there was another boat with him. Verse 37 says, a fierce squall, a violent storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus Christ was conveniently sleeping. Now, the thought is this. Here was the disciples. They took care of Jesus Christ and protected him to make sure that he had a good rest. Now, the crisis developed so fast. What do you do now? We want to make sure that this Jesus Christ has a chance to rest. And he really slept. The scripture says he was sleeping. In other words, in the Greek term, it means he was in the state of complete sleep. Now, how many men over here will sleep through hurricane level of storms or huge problems? I can sleep very well at night. My wife says, when I just hit on my pillow, I'm gone. It's a blessing, right? But there are times when there are crises, when there are huge problems, like say there is an earthquake. If you are able to sleep through that, that is a huge problem in itself too. You want to be able to awake and then do what is necessary. And Jesus Christ, for the disciples, what do you do with him? We are trying to protect this tight, Jesus Christ, and yet here is a huge problem. What do we do? I think it took them a lot of courage, and then to the point that they could not wait anymore. They literally shouted, Jesus Christ, don't you care about us? In other words, they blurted out only at the end where they could not wait any longer. What does that mean? It basically means is this. Jesus Christ is teaching them some very important principle lessons over here. First, it's kind of interesting to know that Jesus Christ waited until they were completely helpless. Remember, a lot of these disciples, they were what? Fishermen. They know water, they know a boat, they know fishing, and they are very familiar with the territory over here. Except the problem is the Sea of Galilee, which is about 700 feet below sea level, with the cold in blowing like a funnel from the with the mountain surrounding it, and then suddenly drop, and then the cold, the warm air and humid air from the Sea of Galilee comes up, it suddenly can explode into violent storm, and this is what happened. Now, I think the disciples were trying to use their fisherman skill they have, the experience they had for such a long time, to handle themselves as far as they could until they realized that unless Jesus do something, they will die, they will be drowned. Very important principles, which is very, that I have learned, I have not learned these lessons until very recently. I had, like many pastors, I have a lot of seminary training, more than 10 years. So when I come out, I rely a lot of my own training. I rely upon what I was taught, the skills I've learned, but I forgot one thing. Jesus Christ reminds me, he said, no, It is not your skills, your experience, your training, everything else. It is my power in you. For you must realize you can do nothing without me. Many of us are very well trained with all kinds of educations. We also try to use all our skills and ability to do God's work. But we must realize this. It is God 100%. Then we realize that without Him, we cannot do anything. If you can turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 5. That is what I'm trying to kind of convey the idea. Now, this is talking about the vine and the vine and the branches. Verse 15 says, apart from me, you can what? Do nothing. And but when you discover that you cannot do anything at all with your human power, then we realize, Paul says in Philippians 4:13, when I completely realize that I cannot do anything with God's work, but in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. In other words, once I discover I cannot do anything outside of God's power, then God's power begins to dwell in me. And in His power, I begin to do things far beyond my ability. It took me far too long to realize this. And I'm glad that I'm able to learn what God can do. And then also, the second lesson for what disciple has to learn is this. Look back to chapter 4 again. The first thing they were fearful was, they were fearful for their life. But when Jesus Christ commanded, it says over here, teacher, don't you, verse 38, it said, teacher, don't you care that we are drowning? Then verse 39 says, he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. The word there, quiet, be still, it's like the picture of an oxen. They muscle the oxen so that as the oxen begin to work and stuff like that, trading the corn, it is not able to eat the corn. That is the word here used is Jesus Christ muscle the waves and the wind so that it will not explode in power. Instead, it will become quiet and calm the storm. You know what it means? It means this. God is teaching us that Jesus Christ has power over all things. We need to learn to trust Him. We need to learn to trust in His sovereignty, and therefore to be able to look to Him on a daily basis. And there are many storms in our lives. Sometimes the storms are big and sometimes the storms are small. But nevertheless, often when we see the storm, we become very fearful because the storm overwhelms us. And we always look at the storm itself. And I know, for instance, I have shared with you the last time I shared with you about the encounter my wife and I. We had a huge storm that we had to face about her condition over here with her brain tumor. And they've thrown our lives upside down. We were struggling day and night how to handle it. And then finally God says to us, let me handle for you. Let me muscle the storm and the wind. Let me calm your heart so that you will be able to walk with me Now, in our lives, you and I know that sometimes God removes the storms, and other times, God makes us walk with Him through the storms. And other times, it appears the storms are so huge, we wonder whether or not we are able to live through the storm. And we all have faced that. But be encouraged. Jesus Christ is bigger than the storm. And what it also says, tells us is this. Jesus wants us to walk intimately with Him. The exciting thing is this. The disciples now at this point is just beginning to discover who Jesus Christ is and what He can do. Remember, this was an early stage in their walk with the Lord when they were called to be His disciples. And now, their picture of knowledge of Jesus Christ is deepened. And the word over here, it says, they were terrified, they were awestruck by the presence of God Himself in their midst. You know what? What it encourages to do is this. As we go through the experience of storms in our life, God wants us to know more of Him, not just know more about Him. Why? Because as we know Him more intimately, we are able to learn to not be frightened by the storm. Instead, look to Jesus, who is the finisher of our faith. Now, how much time do I have? Not much time more, huh? Oh no! What is the time that you guys finish? In about 10 minutes. 11:30. Okay. How long do you see your pastor preaches? About 11:30. Uh-huh. About 11:30. Okay. Now, it gives you a little bit more time to work through the chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, which is also what I'm wanting to share. Verse 1 to 20, and here is talk about this demon-possessed person here. Oh, the more I read about this passage, I am totally, saddened in the initial stage. Look at this, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. They went across the lake to the other side here. When Jesus got off the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tomb to meet Him. This man lived in a tomb. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Now, this passage here describes the kind of condition the person is. Desperate, lonely, possessed, not knowing what to do. It is like it's better to die than to live kind of situation, and yet he was completely out of his control. Basically, Satan has destroyed him in such a way that he was really beyond recognition, and he continued to cut himself. What kind of person would that do that kind of thing? And yet, this is exactly, it reminds us the truth here, verses 1 to 5, tells us this, that we cannot solve spiritual problem with human solution. Only God. And I like what Louis Pascal says this. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the hearts of every man which cannot be filled with created things. Whether it is religion, whether it is money, whether it is power, whether it is possessions, all these human things cannot feel it. And we know that in many cases, when the world cannot treat the problem, they just drug them, they just throw them in prison, mental institution, and throw the keys away. And this is basically the situation over here. This person was very desperate, and yet Jesus Christ went all the way there to share, to do what he alone can do, that is to cast the demons away. Demons, you know, they are fallen angels. Fallen angels, if you look with me to, because this, they are fallen angels, and they demons knew that their time is up, that God, in a final analysis, there will be a judgment. They will be thrown into the abyss, suffer for all eternity. And so when it's very interesting, when the demon saw Jesus Christ, what did they do? The first thing was what? They ran and fell at his knees in front of Jesus, and he shouted on the top, "What business do you have with me?" And said, "Jesus, the Son of the Most High, swear to me that you will not torment me." In other words, the fallen angels knew the day will come, they will be sent for eternal punishment. But because he was doing destructive work against God's creation, the demons knew they will be punished right away. What it means is this: we worship the God that is more powerful than angels. And therefore, it encourages us not, therefore, to bow down to anything else except God and God alone. Now, let me remind you of one thing here. Today, a lot of people, because they are going through a lot of problems, they consult medium. They consult New Age stuff. Play Ouija boards. You know what Ouija board is? We all know what Ouija boards. And then fool around with all this, what they call, dark powers. It's very dangerous because all these things, once they come and invade into your life, they will not leave you alone. They will come and trouble you in so many ways. It is like King Saul. Remember how he went and consult medium? I was very involved in this kind of spiritual darkness that haunted me for a long, long time. My brother was involved in medium. You know what medium is? Being possessed by evil spirit. Even though at that time I thought it was gods. That, you know, the Kuan Yin and this all kind of Buddha and stuff like that. But it is not. It's demons. And so after playing with all these kind of things here, I had so much trouble after I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, because there were nights this demon would sit on me and I could hardly even breathe, until Jesus Christ reminds me that you are free in me, that all this power has no power over you anymore. I am the Lord of your life. And suddenly the whole thing disappeared. So it is also a reminder that, and the thing is this, even though this person was possessed for such a long time, the world has given him up, but Jesus Christ did not. You and I may be going through a lot of problems, struggling with all kinds of issues, but God has not given us up. And look at verse 15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legions of demons. A legion is about 6,000 soldiers. So in other words, it indicates over here, the demons, the men were possessed by a lot of demons. Now, the 2,000 pigs that ran away and dive into, ran into the sea, probably more than 2,000 demons were involved over here. So this man was possessed by so many demons, but Jesus Christ's authority over them. And it reminds us, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we as the children of God has power over demons. We shouldn't be afraid of them because he has been defeated on the cross by Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, after the demon was cast away, sitting there, dressed in his right mind, completely different person. Who could have done that? But God and God alone. That should give us hope. You know what, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? This Bible here is the Word of God. We have the good tidings, the greatest message on earth that can transform this broken life into a life that is so beautiful, sane, and together. Better than money can buy. Better than all the possessions the world can offer. That is why, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. Share with people, tell them this good news. Even though in their mind and heart that they think it is hopeless, but this story reminds us nothing is impossible with God. Some of you are struggling with your mind. My children are not going to church. My spouse is struggling with all kinds of issues. What can I do? No. Don't give up hope. God has a hope for you. God wants you to learn to trust him and say, he's saying to you and I, come to me. I will not only give you rest, I will demonstrate my power. If only you will trust me. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we are reminded again that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but all will come to us knowledge of him. And so if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, come. He has a good news for you, because he will not only forgive your sins, but he will remove all the judgment of God and give you new life. I come that you might have life and might have it abundantly. Not only that, but Jesus over here also reminds us, God wants us to live by faith in him. Not by sight, not by our feelings, not by what you see, but in his almighty power. And thirdly, God has not given us up hope. We have hope in him. He wants to continue to transform us. So when you have people who are not struggling, who are struggling with hopelessness, commit to the Lord. Live by faith. And God will surprise you more often than you will ever realize. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for your love. I pray, Father, that you will use this message to continue to encourage us, Lord, to walk with you, to talk with you, to know you. We bless you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.